Today's episode is dedicated to Dr. Kira Malika Daniels. Thank you for your scholarship, your mentorship, and your light. Aibobo. Welcome to the Agua Cerrito podcast show, where we honor the divine, spark personal liberation, and deconstruct Haitian voodoo. I'm your host, Knowledge, also known as Konef Kife. Every episode is a digital offering to the sacred spirits, ancestors, and vibrant culture of Haitian voodoo. Through storytelling, interviews, and reflections, we will explore its roots, its power, and its impact. Voodoo is more than spirituality. It is life, legacy, and liberation. Aibobo, welcome to another episode of the Agua Cerrito podcast show. I'm your host, Professor Knowledge, Professor Connie Kife. Today, we're going to talk about two very important laws in Haitian voodoo, Papa Loco and Mambo Aiza. As always, we begin our conversation about the divine by centering ourselves with breath and prayer. Let's start with our breath. Let's breathe together three times. Inhale love and exhale judgment. Inhale patience and exhale frustration. Inhale light and exhale darkness. Allow your breath to align with your heartbeat. Greetings to Almighty God. Thank you for the breath of life. Greetings to all of the divine saints and angels in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Greetings to Papa Loco and Mambo Aiza. We invite you in this space and ask that you pave the way for knowledge and understanding of your energy in this episode. Greetings to the ancestral spirits of all four elements of earth, water, fire, and air in the east, west, north, and the south, both known and unknown. Greetings to you, our esteemed listeners. Thank you for the thread that connects us as brothers and sisters on this earthly realm. Thank you for the opportunity to be in community with each and every one of you. We ask to enlighten and empower our listeners with light, wisdom, and knowledge. We ask to liberate our hearts and minds in order to connect with the divine. We ask that whatever is needed from this episode be met. We ask that whatever guidance needs to be shared is shared as well as understood in this episode. We ask that whatever lessons need to be learned be learned. Aibobo, ago ago, bo rababa, asao, alaso, awoshenago, jabodo, afutai, bilolo, swakongo, kwa sembo. Welcome back to another episode of the Agua Cerrito podcast show. If you've been on the journey with us, thank you so much for tuning in. I truly appreciate you being part of our digital laku. And if you're new to the show, welcome and a big aibobo to you. I'm your host, Professor Knowledge, Professor Konikife. And this show is all about one thing: deconstructing, demystifying, and decolonizing Haitian voodoo. Each week, I share information with the goal of educating, empowering, and enlightening our listeners on the beautiful, sacred religious practices of Haitian voodoo. Before we dive into today's conversation, I'd love for you to hit that follow, subscribe button so that you never miss an update. If you enjoy what you're hearing, leaving a quick review or a quick rating is one of the best ways to support the show. It helps more people find us and helps keep our digital laku growing. And of course, feel free to share this episode with a friend who would enjoy it as well. And since we have listeners in our digital laku all across the world, every week I shout out a city where our listeners are located. So this week, I want to send a big aibobo shout out to all of our listeners in Plantation, Florida. Plantation, Florida, aibobo, aibobo, aibobo to you. Thank you for your support. In today's episode, we are going to love on and honor Papa Loco and Mambo Aiza, the laws that oversee priesthood in Haitian voodoo. Our show today will be informed by the scholarly works of Maya Duran and Mambo Viezo Komende Lamenfo. From a theological lens, we will deconstruct Papa Loco and Mambo Aizan's energetic signatures, as well as discuss how they are comparative to other deities in other world religions. And towards the end of today's show, I will take a moment to discuss what does it mean if you start to see Papa Loco or Mambo Aiza appearing in your life, which, by the way, would be an amazing blessing in and of itself. And I'll share a little bit more about why. Now, before we get into the conversation, this episode comes with a big disclaimer, particularly for those who are new to voodoo. I want you to keep in mind that while we will discuss Papa Loco and Mambo Aiza in today's episode for educational purposes, the active process of serving these two specific laws in many lineages and societies. This is not the case for all lineages or all lakus, but it's the case in many. Serving Papa Loco and Mambo Aiza is typically reserved for individuals who are initiated. So if you are new to voodoo, if you have begun your practice, make sure that you are well aware of your family's reglement, you're well aware of your lineages, your societe's reglement, you're well aware of your habitation's reglement before you even attempt to connect with Papa Loco or Mambo Aiza. So that is a big disclaimer, a big caveat to today's conversation. If you are not initiated in Haitian voodoo, you typically, and again, this is not the case with every single lineage, but there is a common practice that these two laws are reserved and should only be invoked by those who have been initiated. And attempting to invoke or serve these two laws without the proper spiritual authority, without aligning to règlement, is sometimes not only considered disrespectful, but in some cases, it can actually end up carrying spiritual consequences. To attempt to connect with any divinity, for that matter, that you are not spiritually prepared to receive can actually sometimes bring on self-inflicted spiritual problems. Make sure you are aware of that and understand the règlements that you and the community that you are tethered to. I want to also say a couple more caveats actually before we begin the conversation. Not everyone is called to be initiated in Haitian Vodou. Some individuals that may be called, they may have to actually undergo sort of like a waiting period. They may have to go, you know, kind of a period of transition in order to even become spiritually ready to initiate. And honestly, it's really the laws, right? Your laws, your ancestors, your community that essentially have to give you the spiritual authorization to even initiate. So that is not a decision that you take solely on your own. That is one that is a collective decision across multiple realms in order to ensure that you are spiritually ready. Your vessel, in a sense, is ready to take on that level of responsibility. I also, in saying the statement, I also want to create space and clarify a major misconception that sometimes individuals have when they are first introduced to Haitian Vodou. Now, with the exception of Papa Loco and Mambo Aiza, you do not, and again, I'm going to repeat, you do not have to be initiated to serve Haitian laws. You do not have to be initiated to honor your ancestors. You do not have to be initiated in order to attend a Vodou ceremony. You can serve the laws while not being initiated. And the key word, I'm going to say specifically Haitian Vodou, because there are other iterations. If I go back to, I believe it was episode 3 in season 1, we talked about that there are multiple iterations of Vodou, not just Haitian Vodou. So there may be some iterations of the practice that do require initiation. But within Haitian Vodou, you do not have to serve. You know, the main requirement to serving the laws in Haitian Vodou is really based on your family lineage and or your spirits of your community choosing you. Again, the laws come to you. That's typically how this kicks off. So just being aware of that is important, and not to confuse other iterations of other Afro-diasporic spiritual practices that may require initiation to serve their specific deities. But again, in Haitian Vodou, that is not the case. I also, in this, as I continue to go down this rabbit hole for a moment, I also want to make the difference between serving and working, because there's also sometimes confusion about those two terms. So when I say serving the laws, I mean you are lighting candles, you are making petitions for them, you may be providing them offerings when it makes sense or you're spiritually ready to do so under the guidance of a trusted spiritualist. You may be attending Vodou ceremonies. You may be learning and connecting with a specific community. So if you're doing these things as well as honoring your ancestors, that is, I would call, the definition of serving, right? You are a devotee to a particular law or maybe multiple laws, and you are serving them and creating those reciprocal relationships with the divine under guided trust. under guide, let's say guidance, right? Depending on, again, your lineage, your societe, your habitation is reglement. Now, when I say working with the laws do require initiation. And so what do I mean by working? If you are wanting to do, let's say, card readings for a client, if you are wanting to do any sort of, whether it's protection work, it's work for people's career, it is work for people's love life, it is work for just anything that is about really serving the public in some way, and you being paid to do that specific work. Now, working for the spirits, because that's essentially what initiated individuals do. They not only work for themselves, they serve their spirits, but they also work for the public in some instances, in some iteration, shape, or form. Now, to do work with the laws and to do work on behalf of the public, yes, you do need to be initiated. Again, in most lineages. I'm going to talk about the differences between the initiation levels in a future episode, the differences between, let's say, an Asogwe lineage versus, sometimes you may hear a Makut lineage, which doesn't require an initiation. We're going to cover those nuances in another episode. And feel free, again, you can do your own research outside of this podcast. However, I did think it was important to make the distinction, because again, I think individuals sometimes conflate those two concepts and they're very, very different. So we're going to do an entire episode on initiations and the levels. But one thing, you know, again, just to kind of close out this specific thread. The truth is, being initiated in Vodou is serious business. It is a serious commitment, and with it brings tremendous responsibility. It brings tremendous responsibility for your lineage, for your habitation, for your societe, for even your immediate family and friends. So there's a tremendous responsibility. There's a tremendous weight that comes with being initiated. And being an initiated individual, it actually demands differently from a person spiritually, which is again why not everyone is either ready or not everyone should be initiated in some way, shape, or form. So again, we're gonna talk about all of that in a future episode, but as we delve into the amazing Papa Logo, the amazing Mambo Aiza, I would be remiss not to take a couple of minutes and unpack that specific disclaimer. If you have questions, if you have any other questions that I can specifically answer around what I just talked about, feel free, you know, feel free to send me an email, aguacerito@gmail.com, and I'm happy to answer any other nuanced questions you may have about your specific scenario. Now, for those who are called, so let's kind of pivot. So for those that are called to initiate, for those who have been reclaimed, we're going to talk about reclamation in a future episode as well. But when an individual has been reclaimed by the spirits and reclaimed specifically to initiate, it is essential that you really understand the roles of Papa Loco and Mambo Aiza in Haitian Vodou. So let's begin our conversation about Papa Loco. We're going to start with Papa Loco and take a moment to talk about his specific origins. I'm going to start by reading a passage from the book Serving the Spirits by Mambo Viezo Commande La Menfo. And it really starts the conversation around Papa Loco's origins. So in that book, she writes, Loco's origins are not clear. In Haiti, Loco has a diverse range of possible roots that suggest both his name and his associations. Loco is known for giving traditional knowledge. So according to Vodou tradition, it is Papa Loco who confers the ason. Ason is a sacred rattle that is conferred to individuals of priesthood. So I'll go back to her reading. So Papa Loco, who confers the aso to initiates, elevating them to the status of Mambo Owuga. This handing over of the Asa has a mythical origin in the beginning of Haiti's history, where it is said that in a cave, it was an Indian who offered it to an African while sharing the land's secrets with him. It has also been said that the name Loco comes from the ancient Taino who called themselves Locono, or Sons of Loco. The mythical founder of the Arawak bloodline, from whence these set out to conquer the Caribbean islands. And then some writings actually state that Papa Loco's origins are African, and his name is derived from the Iroko tree of West Africa. Given that Loco is associated with trees, these linkages makes for an interesting connection. Some scholarship points to his legends coming out of Diome, where he is one of the royal ancestors of the clan Adja. Here, his two principal avatars are found, Loco Atisu from Hula and Loco Atida, or Adon Loco from Oweme. There has been a nation of people called Loco in Sierra Leone for over 2,000 years. So from wherever Loco comes from, his mystery remains strong, beloved, and holy in Haiti. So I think that's an interesting kind of perspective when it comes to understanding the origins of specifically Papa Loco. And one of Papa Loco's strongest symbols is the tree, especially in Haiti when we think about the Mapu tree, right? The tree of life. And the tree, the Mapu tree specifically represents rooted knowledge and the presence of ancestors. Now these trees are huge. And another one of Papa Loco's symbols is the use of leaves and healing. And through them, he teaches the language of nature. So we all know that, okay, Papa Loco is the loa of priesthood. He's also known as the loa of healing, the loa of knowledge, and really has a sacred connection. And a lot of the scholarship that I've read also speaks about Papa Loco coming out of the Fon and Yoruba traditions of West Africa. And so it's interesting how there's kind of different nuanced iterations of his origin. But there is a connection. There's definitely a connection to West Africa. And we find that his name connects back to Loco, a Fon spirit linked with trees, healing, and the sacred. And in Benin, where they serve Vodou with an N, Loco is tied to the great Iroko tree, right? Which is known in some places as the silk, cotton, and capote tree. And it's interesting. Earlier this year, I was fortunate enough to actually go to Benin, Africa, and see the Iroko tree in person. And I think what was interesting, listeners, is that while it's a different tree from the Mapu tree, it looks very similar in terms of its scope, its size, and scale. It's just as huge, just as regal. And there is immense power with the Iroko tree. And while we were in Benin, our guide shared with us that anytime you see an Iroko tree throughout Benin, or actually any type of tree for that matter throughout the country, if you see a tree with a cloth or a scarf kind of tied around it, that culturally symbolizes to the community that there's an acknowledgement that there's a deity that is residing in that tree. And it really kind of marks it as a sacred tree that should be respected, that should not be tampered with. So listeners, if you ever get a chance to go to Benin and you're driving through different neighborhoods and you come across a tree that has some sort of cloth or some sort of scarf of any type of color, for that matter, tied around that tree, understand that's kind of the like code word for there is a deity living in that tree. And listeners, if you're interested in hearing more about my trip to Benin and that experience and understanding and being able to witness Vodun in action, again, feel free to send me an email, aguacerito@gmail.com. I'd be more than happy to talk about it in a future episode. But the Iroko tree, again, going back to the power, the immense power that the Iroko tree has, it is typically seen as a living ancestor or a home for spirits. and considered a bridge between the realms. And people typically bring offerings to the base of the Iroko tree, asking for guidance, asking for healings, asking for blessings. So in that role, if you think about the Iroko tree in Vodun, again, Vodou with an N, and we go back to Haitian Vodou, there was a linkage in terms of the role and the function that Papa Loco carries. Papa Loco is the bridge between people and spirits. As a healer, he is the bridge between medicine and ceremony. As an individual that confers that oversees priesthood, he's a bridge between the community and the ancestors through the priests, the mumbles and wungas that take on the responsibility of his light in the earthly realm. So Papa Loco is essentially remembered, at least in Haiti, he's remembered, he's considered the first Wunga, or the first priest of Haitian Vodou. And he's not only a healer, he's an herbalist, and he's considered the keeper of spiritual law. So if you ever have the fortunate, you know, kind of the fortunate kind of experience to see a manifestation of Loco, first of all, he does not come very often at all. There are some iterations of him that do manifest on the earthly realm. His energy is extremely serious, very serious, like a wise elder. Think of him as sort of like a wisdom keeper, right? An elder who guards sacred knowledge. And as the gatekeeper of the priesthood, as the gatekeeper of initiation, one of his main functions is to protect the path to priesthood, right? In Vodou, no one becomes a priest or a priestess without passing through Papa Loco. Papa Loco, he holds the link not only between the ancestors, the medicines, the earth, but the rituals. So essentially, Papa Loco is like the living root of the spiritual order of Haitian Vodou. Aibobo. With that, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk about Mambo Aiza. Hope you're enjoying today's episode. Have a question, comment, or feedback? Feel free to send us an email at aguacedito@gmail.com. That's aguacedito@gmail.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.aguacedito.com for more information about past episodes, show notes, and more.
Judah, yo, why, yo, pa, why, yo, pa, le, la. Papa Loco, papa,
Aiza velekete imabu segwelo. Aiza velekete imamu segwelo. Aiza doyawe. Aiza doyawe. Aiza velekete imamu segwelo. Aiza doyawe. Aiza, Mambo Aiza. So Mambo Aiza comes from Aiza or Aiza Velekete, a Yoruba and Fone spirit of the market, sacred commerce, and initiation. And in the book Serving with the Spirits by Mambo Lamenfo, she writes, Aiza's origin is through an old Diomen divinity. Her name comes from the Fone people of Benin, where Ai means earth or land, Za means sacred. The name is doubled as Vele is a word from the Mina people and it too means sacred, as does Kete, which means land. So her name is a double of sacred land. So it's really interesting, and specifically in Diomé, which is the former kingdom of now called modern-day Benin, she was honored as the guardian of public order, of market exchange, and feminine mysteries. However, through the transatlantic slave migration, the slave trade, her role essentially transformed a bit when she landed in Haiti. So in Haiti, Mambo Aiza takes on the role as the first Mambo, the first priestess, and she's essentially the wife of Papa Loco. And Mambo Aiza in Haiti is more specifically focused on being the protector of women when it comes to the priesthood, the protector of initiation, the keeper of sacred thresholds. In this context, Mambo Aiza is really considered the archetypal priestess. She's considered the spiritual midwife, right? Her energy is protective, and it's really kind of, there's this maternal strength about her specifically for initiates. So she's very protective of any individual that is going through the initiation process. Mambo Aiza carries ancestral codes. She carries the power of intuition. She carries essentially the initiation protocol. So she governs the protocols of those that are going through the initiation process. She's the keeper of ritual secrets and the secret weight of the spoken word. And one of her key symbols is the palm leaf. So you may hear it may be called the palmis. And in Vodou initiations, the palm leaves are used to shield the mysteries from those who are not yet initiated. So in the book Serving with the Spirits, Mambo Lamenfo says newborn Kunzel initiates all wear Mambo Aiza's palm fridge across their faces as they exit the Jebo. And we'll talk about the Jebo. We'll talk about these terms in a future episode. The reason that they do, I'm gonna go back to the reading. This is to shield them during their first movements in the temple, them meaning the newborn initiates, to shield their first movements in the temple and as a sign that they are eternally under her protection. And in this context, the palm leaves for Mambo Aiza represents protection, purification, and spiritual filtering. So if you've ever got a chance to see individuals completing an initiation ceremony or going through that process in some way, and you see some of the public rituals that are taking place, you'll sometimes see, you know, certain specific rituals where the initiates have like these like palm fringes across their face and they're wearing a hat. So whenever you see that, whether it's in a video or you've had a chance to see that in real life, that is essentially representing Mambo Aiza and representing the protection she has over individuals going through the priesthood. In the book Divine Horsemen by the author Maya Duren, she actually shares a perspective about Mambo Aiza's role with initiation that I thought was interesting. So in the book, she writes, Moreover, Mumble Aizan is a patron as well as of the ritual stages of initiation, which culminate finally in the Kunzel ceremony of spiritual birth. It is her palm leaf which purifies and protects when shredded into a fringe. It is worn as sort of a mask by the initiate on the occasion of their first emergence into the world. Thus, Mumble Aizan is the loa of the psychic womb of the race, and she's the guardian of the place of spiritual birth, the Wunfa. In the absence of the Wunga or Mumble, the sacred objects and drums are consigned to her as well as to Loco for protection. And she goes on further to say that Mumble Aizan protects against a malevolent magic and is the psychic security, which is power and health. So with that, we are going to take a break and we're going to come back. We're going to talk about Papa Loco and Mumble Aizan and what they symbolize collectively, as well as share a comparative lens of these two deities with other world religions. Within Haitian Vodou, Papa Loco and Mumble Aizan collectively are living presence. They are guardians of sacred order, specifically when it comes to initiation, when it comes to the priesthood. And with them, with their energetic signature, they carry this like intergenerational wisdom and healing that allows them to be able to continue to confer their protection, their knowledge over the sacred rituals of priesthood within Haitian Vodou. So honoring them and loving on them are essentially an act of resistance. It's a way to repair the ruptures of colonization, a way of rooting back into our ancestral continuity, right? After the forced displacement of enslavement. So every time an individual goes through, initiation, it's that reconnecting back to your ancestral roots from a spiritual lens, facilitated by Mumbo Aizan, facilitated by Papa Loco. It helps carry the lineage forward. It helps preserve aspects of deep cosmology that was brought into the New World from West Africa and then adapted into Haiti. So every time we honor, and again, I mentioned that specifically because initiates typically honor and love on Papa Loco and Mambo Aiza. Every time you do that, if you are initiated, Aibobo, Aibobo to you, honoring Papa Loco, honoring Mambo Aiza is an act of resistance, because what it does is that it helps preserve the lineage, preserve the practices of Haitian Vodou, and continue to strengthen it through practicing. Papa Loco and Mambo Aiza together, they are kind of their collective cosmic counterparts, because they help create that balance, the balance that's needed within Vodou priesthood as a feminine and a masculine energy that oversees initiation. And they ensure that spiritual authority is something that is earned by initiates, never falsely claimed. I think that's really important. When individuals are going through the initiation process, you know, there's a sense of a transformation that they undergo. There's some shedding, there's some shadow work that they end up, you know, going through to go through that process. And it's to ensure, again, the preservation of the culture, the preservation of the seriousness of that type of responsibility. And like I mentioned, you know, we will be talking about the role of Wungos and Mumbos, which are the priests and priestesses of the faith. And when we do, I will be able to revisit the relationships between Papa Loco and Mumbo Aiza. One last thing I'll say before we switch gears. Papa Loco and Mumbo Aiza, I'm going to read from The Divine Horseman by author Maya Duran. And she writes, Papa Loco and Mumbo Aiza accordingly are the major healers of the pantheon. The invisible forces which come by the way of the trees may bring either good fortune or bad. Significantly, it was Papa Loco who discovered how to draw their properties from the trees and to make the best herbal charms against disease. And while Papa Loco thus functions as the doctor who heals and repairs the body in an almost scientific sense, Mumbo Aiza is essentially the psychic security, which is really focused on power and health. And so the two working together essentially help restore the natural state of health to not only of the body, but specifically the cosmic body, and helps restore human beings as well. I'm going to switch gears. I want to take some time and just unpack or deconstruct some of the comparable deities of Papa Loco and Mumbo Aizan's energy in other world religions. So as I mentioned earlier, when we think about Papa Loco, we think of him as part of a global family of wisdom keepers. Again, because he's the sacred guardian of ritual order, the sacred guardian of knowledge, specifically for initiation. In Greece and Egypt, there were Hermes and Thoth, spirits of knowledge, writing, and the sacred laws that guided the priest. In Greece, there was also Asclepius, the god of medicine and healing, especially through plants and remedies. So we see within Greece and Egypt various deities that had a similar thread to Papaloko. From the Norse traditions, Odin holds the hidden runes and the mysteries of shamanic initiations. In India, we see Shiva, that is expressed as Dakshina Murti, that teaches silently and showing wisdom beyond words. In the Yoruba tradition, if we go back to Yoruba tradition in Nigeria, Orumila is the Orisha of wisdom and divination, the one who holds human destiny and guards the right way of initiation. There's also Osain, another Orisha that holds the secrets of plants and healing, which is very close to Papaloko's roles in herbs, which is really interesting because there's also in Haitian Vodou, and I know we'll be talking about Ogu and the Nago Nation in a future episode, there's what's called Metosain, which is similar to the Osain Orisha that is the secret of plants. But Metosain in the Nago Nation is an Ogu in the Ogu Loa, is one of the Ogu escorts that also focuses on plants and healing. So there's a very similar kind of overlapping kind of comparison there when it comes to the Osain Orisha in Nigeria. If we look at other indigenous traditions from Siberia to the Amazon to Native America, we also see what's called the first shaman, a figure who brought humanity the rituals, the plants, the medicines to heal. And so that spirit, that indigenous spirit of being the first healer, the first teacher, is similar to Papaloko. Like Papaloko, Mumbo Aizan also has comparative energies in other world religions. If we look at Greece and Rome, we see Hestia and Vesta, keepers of the earth, keepers of the purity of community rituals. In Egypt, we see Isis, right? Isis in Egypt stands for mother, is the mother priestess, holding magic, wisdom, and the marketplaces in her care. And if we travel to the Gnostic Christianity, they honor Sophia, the spirit of divine wisdom who guides initiates towards understanding. So again, very similar comparisons in terms of other deities. If we switch and we go to India, in India, there's Parvati is a goddess that carries the power of devotion and protection. And if we switch to the Celtic tradition, Brigid is the goddess of healing, poetry, and priestly rites that's deeply connected to women's authority. Now, what's interesting about Brigid in Celtic tradition, we're going to talk about Grand Brigid, Mamba Brigid in a future episode when we talk about Gede, we also see that transformation, that comparable energy of Brigid from Celtic tradition. We also see that in our Gede Nation with Mama Brigid or Grand Brigid. So similar to Metosain in the Orisha, you know, Yoruba tradition, we see that is connected with other energies within Haitian Vodou. In the Yoruba tradition, Yemaya, which is the motherly guardian of the priestesses and the waters, so very similar kind of role as Mumbo Aiza. There's, if we go back to Fon and the Yewe, there's talks of Nana Bukulu, which we talked about in our episode on God. There's talks of Mawu Lisa, the twin divinities of balance and initiation. Mawu in the Mawu Lisa twin divinity reflects Aiza's wisdom, nurturing, and law. And if we look at indigenous religions, Grandmother Spider, which is represented within the Hopi and Cherokee tribe, among others, is considered a wise elder who teaches rituals and weaves order into the world. If we go to Mesoamerica, there's corn mothers and there's market goddesses or of the Aztec or of the Mayan that reflect and embody fertility and women's power. So it was really interesting when you look at all of these different gods and goddesses across different religions and those that are healers, wisdom keepers, connected to being guardians of priests and priestesses of their faith. There's a very, very similar thread to Papaloko and Mumbo Aiza. We're going to take one more break. We're going to come back. We want to wrap up our conversation around Papaloko and Mumbo Aiza and talk about what does it mean if Papaloko and Mumbo Aiza surface in your life. Hope you're enjoying today's episode. Have a question, comment, or feedback? Feel free to send us an email at aguacedito@gmail.com. That's aguacedito@gmail.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.aguacedito.com for more information about past episodes, show notes, and more.
Are you passionate about Haitian voodoo, its history, and its role in shaping the Haitian culture in the world? Then let us introduce you to COSAMBA, the premier scholarly association dedicated to the study of Haitian voodoo and Pan-African religions. COSAMBA brings together scholars, practitioners, and the broader community to explore the richness of Pan-African traditions. Through research, conferences, and community engagement, COSAMBA keeps the sacred tradition of Haitian voodoo alive while fostering deeper understandings. Whether you're a scholar, a student, or simply someone seeking to learn more about these powerful faith traditions, COSAMBA is your gateway to knowledge and connections. Visit COSAMBA, COSAMBA.org to learn more and join the movement.
Want to make a difference in a child's life? The Empowerment Network 10 Global, founded by Dr. Charlene Desir, is transforming communities by providing children with opportunities to learn, grow, and thrive. Through summer camps, leadership programs, and educational support, 10 Global creates safe, nurturing spaces where children can develop confidence, life skills, and a brighter future. Centered in Haitian voodoo cosmology and African spirituality, these programs give kids the tools they need to succeed, whether it's academically, socially, spiritually, or emotionally. But we need your help. By donating, volunteering, or spreading the word, you can help provide scholarships, supplies, and life-changing experiences for these young minds. Visit 10global.org today. That's TENGLOBAL.org. Get involved or get connected. Together, we empower. Together, we rise. What does it mean when Papa Loco and Mambo Aiza starts to surface in your life? And when I say surface, I am a believer in synchronicities. And so when we sometimes have laws wanting to connect with us, wanting to get our attention, we may see synchronicities surface. We may hear their songs. We may see them in a dream. We may get messages from our ancestors about them. We may see their representation. Sometimes you'll see Papa Loco may show up in the form of, let's say, a butterfly. You may see things with Mambo Aiza. You see the palms. Even if you don't see her specifically, but you see the palm, the fringe palms in dreams, or you have dreams about palm trees. Anything in that regard, especially if you are already walking a particular walk in Haitian voodoo. First of all, if Papa Loco and Mambo Aiza choose, the operative word here is choose, if they choose to show themselves in your life, that is a very, very powerful sign. It typically means that your destiny is opening in a big, big way. And with the blessing of Papa Loco and Mambo Aiza surfacing in your life, that also could begin the walk of a heavy responsibility that you may end up having to carry. Because again, Papa Loco and Mambo Aiza do not just randomly just show up in different people's lives, even individuals that may be servants of Haitian voodoo for years, for decades. Not everyone
has an opportunity to have Papa Loco and Mambo Aiza come into their lives. So if that is you, if you've kind of started to have these synchronicities and seeing these laws, these divinities coming into your life, it is a tremendous honor, but again, a tremendous responsibility. Their presence is so sacred that I actually would just kind of, as a word of caution, I would want you to use discernment in even who you share, even who you choose to share that information with, who you choose to share that specific spiritual encounter, because it is extremely sacred. The priesthood is extremely sacred. So if Papa Loco and Mambo Aizan start to surface in your life, use discernment. That is not information you casually just share with anybody, because them surfacing in your life is to be taken very seriously. And it's not a casual encounter. It is something that you would share with only a trusted family member, trusted spiritual guide. And if you don't have these individuals that you feel that you can trust with this, maybe sharing it with your ancestors, having a conversation with your ancestors, and they can help you, guide you, and help lead the path. So let's start with Papa Loco. So if Papa Loco starts to show up in your life, remember, Papa Loco is tied to sacred knowledge. He's tied to healing. He's tied to rightful spiritual authority. So when he shows up, it often means you're being called to go deeper. You're being called to deeper service in Haitian Voodoo. You're being called to deeper understanding. And when I say understanding, not just from learning from books, but from learning through dreams, from learning through plants, learning through elders. Sometimes that can mean learning through your ancestors and just learning through a natural world. Papa Loco showing up in your life may indicate he is calling you into some sort of responsibility. He's calling you into some sort of leadership role. Be it that you may be a healer, be it that you may be a teacher, or you may be a guide, you may be a mentor to other people. And his presence typically marks a time that you may need to undergo some sort of spiritual cleansing, initiation, or some sort of personal growth in order to prepare for deeper service. And whatever capacity that may be in terms of your walk in this incarnation. It's also an invitation to take your path more seriously, because again, Papa Loco is a very serious energy and he doesn't just show up, you know, randomly. So it's very important that if you are being called to Voodoo and you start to see deities, you start to see divinities like Papa Loco show up, it is something for you to take serious. Papa Loco also brings protection, right? He reminds you to live in integrity and to align your actions with your words and to walk in truth. And when I think about Papa Loco, I think about the book, The Four Agreements. And within The Four Agreements, if you haven't read that book, listeners, or listen to the audiobook, check it out. I think anyone that's walking a walk within Haitian Voodoo and looking to, you know, let's say like elevate their character, elevate and become even spiritually ready. Spiritually ready also means, how do we embody the highest level of our integrity? How do we continue to embody, you know, and strengthen our character, especially if you are called to the priesthood? And so Papa Loco reminds us to walk the walk, to make sure our words match our actions, and to make sure that we walk in truth, Aibo Bo. So again, you know, if Papa Loco shows up in your life, the message is extremely clear. It's time to get serious. It's time to learn. It's time to heal. And it's probably time to begin to hold yourself more accountable to something greater. There's something greater that your purpose is calling. And Papa Loco showing up is a knock on your destiny's door. Now, if Mambo Aiza starts to show up, remember Mambo Aiza is Papa Loco's counterpart, is the feminine energy. And Mambo Aiza embodies the power of purity, of protection, of sacred femininity, particularly when it comes to initiation. So if she starts to show up in your life, it may often mean you're being shielded during an important transition in your life. be it that it's related to spirituality, related to business, or stepping up in some sort of leadership role. Again, a call to deeper service, but from a feminine energetic perspective. Mambo Aiza, similar to Papa Loco, calls for integrity, but she specifically calls for clarity and honesty. You know, with her, there's no shortcuts or there's no hiding the truth. And when we say purity, it's not from a colonial sense. Purity in a sense of being in alignment with your truth. Purity in a sense of being transparent with your truth. Purity in a sense of being authentic with who you really are in order to live the highest version of yourself in this specific incarnation. Mambo Aiza is also the spirit of thresholds, right? And so her presence signals that you may be entering a new stage of life and preparing potentially for initiation, or just again stepping up into some sort of higher leadership role within your community. And so Mambo Aiza in this context gives you the sacred right to lead and helps bring that spirit of clarity to your. And so to our dearest Papa Loco, our dearest Mambo Aiza, we love you, we honor you, and we thank you so much for what you do to pave the way for our collective spiritual journey, for our collective healing, and always reminding us that our connection to the divine is always our true home. Aye bobo, aye bobo, aye bobo. That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Make sure to follow or subscribe so you never miss an update. Have a question, thoughts, comments about today's episode? Feel free to email us at aguacerito@gmail.com. Don't forget to share this episode with the first person that comes to mind who might need to hear this message as well. Join us next time as we honor Dambala and Aida Wedo, the sacred serpent laws of wisdom and knowledge. Until then, keep learning, growing, and pushing forward on your journey. And as always, we will close out in prayer. Thank you to the Almighty Creator, source of all life and breath. Thank you to all the divine saints, spirits, and protectors who have walked with us in the sacred gathering. Thank you to the ancestral spirits in the east, west, north, and south. May your presence continue to guide us as we move forward. Thank you to the spirits of the earth, water, fire, and air, both known and unknown, who sustain and balance us in every moment. Thank you to the ancestors of our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, and our great-grandparents and beyond, whose wisdom and sacrifices have paved the way for our existence. Thank you to all of our ancestors, near and far. Thank you for your love, your strength, and your eternal guidance. We give gratitude for the unity we have shared and for the wisdom that has been revealed in this moment. We release ourselves into the world with your blessings, asking for your continued protection and guidance as we walk our paths. We honor the thread that connects us all as children of this earthly realm and as spiritual beings beyond it. May the light of wisdom, the power of courage, and the bond of love remain with us as we part ways. May our hearts remain open, our minds remain clear, and our spirits remain strong to continue learning, growing, and thriving together. We affirm that all that is needed has been received, all that is to be learned will unfold, and all that is to be shared will bear fruit in time. Aibo bo, ago ago, bo, lababa, asao, alaso, awoshanago, javodo, afutai, bilolo, swakongo, kwa, sembo. Thank you for tuning into the Agua Cerito podcast show.
Thank you for joining us on the Agua Cerrito podcast show. Together we honor our ancestors, embrace the beauty of Vodou, and step boldly toward liberation. If this episode resonated with you, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. It helps us amplify the spirit of Haitian Vodou even further. Join us next week as we continue this journey to connect, inspire, and uplift. Until then, walk boldly with your spirits. And remember, the Agua Cerrito Show is not just a podcast. It is a vibration, a celebration, a path to freedom.